Let us pray. Holy Spirit, through the words of the scriptures, through the communion that we take today, through our moments of quiet with you, through the words I've heard to prepare for today, may we all come to know the living word and his presence within us.
Amen.
Repent, said John the Baptist. This week there have been a couple of news stories that have made me think about the prophet John the Baptist. The first in the UK is the story of Sarah Sharif. Her father beat her to death, and this week he was found guilty of her murder. The second in Syria is that of Talal Dakak, one of Assad's henchmen. He was reported to have stolen a lion from a zoo to keep as a pet. People said he fed it with the bodies of prisoners and kidnapped victims. He was much hated by relatives of those who had been killed. Now Assad has been forced out, the relatives crowded together this week around rumours of a forthcoming public execution of Talal Dakak. They hoped to be able to watch. The need for a different way in the face of these horrors is the focus of Advent and our longing for Christ and his kingdom. Both these men of dark deeds in this week's news remind me of child soldiers who are forced to fight in conflicts and uprisings around the world and then were brutalised and changed forever. As of 2022, the United Nations verified that 9 state armed forces were using children in hostilities. Central African Republic, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Mali, Somalia, and South Sudan in Africa, Palestine, Syria, and Yemen in Western Asia, Afghanistan in Central Asia, and Myanmar in Southeast Asia. Whether they are kidnapped and beaten till they comply, or whether they join out of poverty and hunger, or a desire for revenge for their community, children are drafted into terror groups and armies to serve as soldiers, spies, sex slaves, and whatever else is needed. And what about our care leavers in the UK and other vulnerable young people recruited to gangs and organised crime in county lines operations? They end up frightened and angry and often addicted to alcohol or drugs. How do we separate out the horror and the mental health and the rage out of those children and return them to innocence with their whole life ahead of them? We don't. But Christ can and is restoring us all, little by little, from glory to glory, until our original goodness shines for all to see. Let's return to John the Baptist. He was calling for people to repent. And in the church, we have misused this word. It has been poorly translated and poorly preached. It has come to mean, feel guilty about what you have done wrong. Say sorry to God and feel like a miserable worm. It has been used in a made-up prayer, which you will not find in the Bible. In some teaching, you are not saved unless you have said the words of this prayer. In this prayer, we ask people to say sorry for their sins and invite Jesus into their heart to be saved and avoid going to eternal conscious torment when we die. Like Jesus is not already there. And like he would ever torture anyone, even for a second. God as Trinity is good all the time. But the word we have mistranslated here as repent and feel like a worm, rattle off the form of words and escape the barbecue after death, is the Greek word metanoia. It means to profoundly change your mindset, to adopt a radically different approach to what you believe about the universe. And this change of mindset visibly changes the way you live your life for all to see, so that your way of life is worthy of your status as a being created in the image of God. Our parish is named after a sudden metanoia, otherwise known as an epiphany. That's where you have an aha moment, a fresh understanding of the way the world works. So what is John talking about, and how does it relate to the ugly deeds at the beginning of my talk? The world was ugly and religion wasn't fixing it. In the passage today, John called out the religious people who liked to divide the world into those whom God would save because of the way they said and did the proper things their strict religion required of them. On the other side were those they believed God would not save. Those who did not say and do the proper things, everyone else. John said keeping up religious appearances would not suffice. An utter change was required. Jesus was the profound change. One who came to save the entire world and all its people. So John wasn't saying, say sorry and feel like a worm. He was saying the world is an utter mess. Be open to the way of Jesus. Abide in him and become like the one you gaze upon. His way of life and radical love is the only way to save the world. Yeah. With the two examples at the beginning of my talk, the religion of the day in John's time would know what to do. They had something written down for most eventualities. In the case of Sarah, Deuteronomy 21 shows what religious people understood as God's will. If a son is rebellious, you should take them to the elders of the town, who will have all the men stoned to death. Children have no rights. Society would join in with the father in killing them. Yet Jesus would come to be known as someone who cared for, honoured and protected children, in spite of what has been written in the scriptures. This was a radically different mindset to that of religion, which affected Jesus' actions. He didn't need to change his mindset though. He had always been like that and always would be. He will be caring for poor little Sarah, and those who hurt people, and those hurt people who hurt her with every fibre of his gracious being. My broken heart takes comfort in that. In the case of the murderer with the lion, what would the religious people of the time of John expect? In Leviticus 24, the religious people wrote down their understanding of what God ordered should be done to a murderer. They should be put to death. And similarly, if you put out someone's eye, then your eye must be gouged out in punishment. But John was saying something different to the religion of his day. He said that people needed metanoia. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, you have heard it said that you should take an eye for an eye. But I say, do not resist the one who is evil. So what people believed God had told them about punishment and revenge was wrong. What they had written down and read about it was therefore wrong too. Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say, on a number of occasions. Jesus, in his humanity and divinity, came to save, forgive and restore the world, not to punish us. And he makes us over by leading us all to adopt his way of radical love. Love of God, love of self, love of enemy, love of everyone. This is what John was talking about. That people needed to align themselves with Jesus' way of being fully human. The sort of human that can be trusted to live peaceably and justly alongside other humans. To do as they wish and harm nobody. So when we have situations like those involving Sara Sharif and Talal Dakak, or child gang members using knives and guns to kill and maim each other, we need metanoia. We don't need to be self-righteous and believe God will save us, and if others aren't saved, it's their fault. We don't need to argue amongst ourselves in church about what adults do consensually in the privacy of their own bedroom. We do need to repent. We need to wail over the state of our city, our country and our world. Over the climate crisis, the greed, the hatred of women and people of other races, the addiction, the terrorism, the poverty, the lack of housing and healthcare. And we need to recognise that only Jesus and his way of radical love can save us all. Now, as Rob Bell said in Love Wins, there will be the need for some godly purification of humanity. There will be a need for healing and adjustment. Because when we are all living our best life forever in peace and love, some actions cannot and will not be allowed. But whenever and however God does this, we can trust God to be like Jesus. We can trust God to be good and compassionate and wise, with healing and perfect timing and perspective. I will finish with a couple of quotes from Jason Clark. I'm just reading his book. Love is the long game, it always wins. And repenting is about mirroring a love that is patient, kind, and keeps no record of wrongs. A love who saves, heals, transforms, restores, and reconciles. As William Blake wrote, we become what we behold. And that's from Jason's book, Leading and Finding Jesus. Back to John the Baptist. He said, repent! So please allow your mindset to be changed. Not to avoid the rotisserie, but to recognise what Jesus is doing and join in. Our kingdom needs you. Amen.